Excuse me, fellas.
What?
Excuse me, guys. This is tuna. See, I hate tuna, okay? I refuse to get stuck with tuna now. Come on.
Hey, Leo, don't eat the tuna.
Oh, where were you? I just said that. I'm not eating this.
Oh,
I'm not eating tuna.
Good.
Come on, let's go back.
Hey, we're not going back, so just shut up.
Oh, sure. Don't go back. Okay, don't go back. That's it. That's what they want. Let me tell you, can I give you two guys a friendly piece of advice, okay? Don't ever go up to the drive-thru, okay? Always walk up to the counter. You know why? Okay. They fuck you at the drive-thru, okay? They fuck you at the drive-thru. They know you're going to be miles away before you find out you got fucked, okay? They know you're not going to turn around and go back. So they don't care. Who gets fucked? Oh, Leo gets. Okay, sure. I don't give a fuck. I'm not eating this tuna, okay?
Shut up!
Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody. Welcome to episode 304 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. Send you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
Yeah, we got a hell of a show for you guys we put together. Unfortunately, that's next week's show. But tonight we got some good stuff, too. We have some trivia regarding the Rogue One poster debuted. And we got some thoughts on that, as well as the Ghostbusters. Reviews for Independence Day, The Shallows, Central Intelligence, How to Be Single, Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot, and Trevor and I's joint opinion on that Batman vs. Superman Ultimate Edition, the three-hour director's cut that was just released last week. Also, streaming online picks and trailers for Bleed for This, Imperium, Trolls, Son of Zorn, and A Monster Calls. We got a packed show for you guys tonight. I think it's going to be a good one. What do you think?
Yeah, isn't it always good?
I mean, it
goes without saying, right?
It's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you saw that article over there on Slash Film, but they did a poll. They had the greatest actors and the worst actors of the last 25 years. Did you see this thing?
Just for Slash Film guys, apparently.
Yeah, I guess. They did a poll, and the readers and the podcast listeners, and they got a big fan base. I'm sure they had a lot of votes. But the greatest actor in their polling of the last 25 years was Morgan Freeman. You agree with that?
He's pretty good, you know. I mean, I would say, okay, fine. That's respectable. I mean, considering it's just a source out of just everyone voting.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's pretty safe.
Safe might be better than, but I think respectably, that's all right, because that's not too safe.
I'm trying to think what the first Morgan Freeman movie I ever saw was, or what I remembered him in as far back as possible.
Hard.
It was Robin Hood, is as far as back I can go, as Azeem.
And badass as well.
Yeah, I mean, he made that movie. Him and Christian Slater were
even
great.
Even in the beginning, all that shit, yeah.
Robin Hood is good because of that supporting cast of Rickman, Slater, and Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
The worst actor of the last 25 years, believe it or not, is Keanu Reeves. Also pretty safe, I feel like, but I don't know about necessarily true because...
Yeah, I disagree, but I do feel safe as far as popular opinion goes.
He was good in The Devil's Advocate, which I think that performance gets overlooked a little bit.
Well, he's been good. I mean, he was good in John Wick. He was obviously fine in the Matrix movies. You know, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just on a singular track going in a singular direction, you know. But there are a lot of actors like that. I think he just gets it bad because he's, you know, has the surfer.
It's an easy pick.
You know, it's an easy target, but it's not necessarily true, right?
If McConaughey never came back, if he had just kind of went away, you know, before he came back with a full head of hair and ripped in 2005 out of nowhere, like the career. I don't think he made a deal with the devil and just came back and was even more popular because he even became a better actor. But if he hadn't had that second career kind of run.
I mean, like Channing Tatum's not really the greatest actor. I mean, I would say there's a lot of people on par with Keanu Reeves, if not worse. And I can't think of anyone at the moment, but.
Well, even guys I like Mark Wahlberg, you gotta say
Mark Wahlberg's pretty infinite sometimes in there. He's pretty terrible. In some things, but then he's really good in something else. So
make sure you clarify that because I don't need him like Davi fucking emailing me next week.
I said he's bad in some things, he's good in the other.
This guy wanted to break Andy Samberg's nose. Next thing you know, he's fucking Wahlberg wants to kick
me
in the nuts.
I mean, obviously, Last Transformers, he was terrible in.
Terrible, but he's good in great things like
the Shyamalan movies was terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, he was actually terrible in, but the movie's terrible too. Yeah, that movie, Invincible, I thought it was really good in that. I mean, he's really likable on screen in some cases.
It's fantastic
but he's just
in The
sometimes,
Departed. I mean,
he is really good in The Departed. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But in some movies, he gets very whiny, and it's annoying.
There is a high-pitched Mark Wahlberg performance with his voice sometimes, and it makes no sense. But, however, the trivia question for this evening is, getting back to Freeman and Keanu Reeves, they made a movie together. So the worst actor of the last 25 years and the best actor of the last 25 years.
We should do this one as.
Yeah, right? What is the name of that movie? And it sounds like you already know what it is. What is it?
I mean, now all I can think of is Chill Factor, but that is close, but not it. Obviously.
That is no cigar, sir.
It's Chain Reaction.
It is Chain Reaction. That's from 20 years ago.
I remember
next
the,
week
the VHS like it was yesterday.
Maybe we should go back and look at that one.
That's what I was saying. Maybe that. I mean, that is. I can't even actually remember if that is terrible or not.
I can't remember
if it's
a fucking
just
frame
mediocre.
Of it,
yeah. I do remember that it's clearly very inconsequential because no one talks about it anymore.
I remember when that movie came out that it was a huge letdown because it was Andrew Davis's follow-up film to The Fugitive. It was Keanu Reeves' next action movie after Speed. I mean, Johnny Mnemonic was already being shot when Speed was going, so that really wasn't.
I mean,
wasn't...
this is back in the 90s, so Morgan Freeman was being kind of cast in those types of roles back then, right? Or in those types of movies, I should do those types of roles. But I remember, because like Murder Mysteries, he was in a couple of those, and what was the other ones? Was he in that like that Rain movie with what's that? Was that not Heavy Rain? Chubby Rain? Yeah, no.
Hard Rain. He
Hard
was the bad
Rain.
Guy,
thank
brother.
You. But he was in that movie. I mean, he was in a bunch of movies very similar to Chain Reaction back then.
Yeah, they kind of pushed him real quick. I think CBS had
the
a
one. Kiss the Girls? What was?
Yeah, they Kiss the Girls.
And was he in Along Came a Spider as well?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
So he was in those types of movies back then. That's kind of like what he was doing.
He was really, he's maintained his popularity. Morgan Freeman has always looked
old.
Those,
though.
I mean, the motherfucker looks the same age his whole life.
He's always looked very weathered and, but not like the bad, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Not the bad, like, kind of weathered, but like the kind of like rugged, like I've been through some shit, I've come out the other side and I know some things, you know?
Yeah. I'm a great actor, I have to agree. But Chain Reaction is the name of that movie. If you haven't seen it, maybe you should watch it, because I think Trevor and I are going to watch it and talk about it on the next Retrocast. We'll take this quick second before we dive into our debate here and our conversation topics to ask you guys to go to iTunes, rate the show, positive or negative, but we need some more ratings on there. It's been a while since we had any ratings. Also, check out our YouTube channel, themoviemavericks.com. There's some animated podcasts on there. I shouldn't say animated, but they're visually done by Fernando Ramirez. He's been helping us on the editing there. Thanks for that. So check out those two avenues and help out the podcast. But let's get into the Star Wars convention that just was going on this past weekend.
What was
and
this
it
thing?
Released a
it was
Rogue
like Star
One
Star Wars Festival or something, right? I don't even know what it was.
Everyone gets together
Should
and
I be
tries to levitate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
I'm
people.
Out of the, I'm out of the Star Wars loop, apparently.
I don't make fun of Comic-Con
anymore. It's
like
an anniversary
anymore.
Thing. Well,
there's too many of them.
You might as well. They're pretty terrible at this point again.
The one I went to in the Bay Area this last year easily had 50,000 people there and was an absolute clusterfuck. It took 3 hours to get in.
They're terrible nowadays. I mean, just and then there's nothing there. Like if you've been to one, you've been to them all. Like that's the sad realization.
The
huge letdown. Yeah, that really. I mean, on every level and all of it, except for probably Comic-Con. You know, the real one's probably still the one that you get. Just because everything new is there, right?
Well, you've gone to a con. I've gone to a con. Do you go to the panels? I don't waste my time there in the panels. I wander around and see what's
what. Well, I used to. Well, it depends on who's up for the panels, you know. But, I've been to some really good panels in the past. Not normally, no. But normally the panels aren't very good.
Who do you think was, I mean, we've both met a lot of fucking random actors at these things. Who do you think was the nicest guy that you met at all these cons?
Oh, I don't.
I remember John Wesley Shipp
pretty nice.
Being awesome. The guy who played the Flash, the original Flash.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone goes, oh, it was Dawson's dad. No, yeah. Well, that's this different generation. He's actually the original Flash. I think he's in the new Flash, too.
Well, that's not a different generation. I mean, those are pretty close.
Hey, now.
They're not that
he was
far
awesome.
Away.
He was like the nicest guy I ever met at any of those cons. So just,
I mean,
just
everyone's
awesome.
Always nice because they're trying to get your fucking, they're trying to get your money. If I'd say the most interesting would be Ernest Borgnine, by far, just because he had crazy stories.
You know who was a fucking nut? The kid who played... I got a strange Comic-Con story for you, all right? It was a couple years ago, so it was actually WonderCon. It was in the Metreon here in San Francisco. And my buddy and I, it was the first one we'd ever been to. If you've never been to one, you know it's awesome. And this was the year that Watchmen was just about to come out. It hadn't come out yet, so it was 2009, but it was just about to premiere, and there was a fevered pitch for Watchmen. Everybody was frenzied buying the – which is funny because they all turned on it when it came out in the movies. You know, it was like an absolute 180 there.
It's so good. It's like one of his only good movies.
Yeah, but regardless, I'm sitting there at the con and we're walking around and my buddy and I had bought a backpack. We had these tall boys, these cans of beer, and we're walking around drinking beer, which I thought was absolutely normal. So we're stopped at this fucking panel. I'm talking to this kid. He's got this Star Wars ship behind him, and he was the kid who played Boba Fett's son in episode 2. Okay, so this is 2009. He was a little boy when that filmed in roughly 2001. You imagine 2001. So he's about 22 now, and he's got a booth, and he's going off the Star Wars thing. There's no one in his booth. And he's like, hey, where'd you get those beers at? I was like, I brought the beer. You know, we're just walking around. I didn't know you could have it. This guy was like, we gave him a beer, and then he was trying to kick it and party with us. Like, well, what are you guys doing after this? We're going. And my buddy and I are like, dude, we got a ditch of Boba Fett's kid here, man. This is all bad. And I mean, at that point, they were talking about making a TV show with them, and there's all sorts of Star Wars kind of things in the work before Disney bought it and put the kibosh on that. So God knows where that actor is. And I couldn't even tell you his name, but we had to get rid of him. All right, back off.
Well, the only real story I have like that is Bud Bundy, you know, David Faustino, as you like to call him, but his real name is Bud Bundy.
It absolutely is.
Talking shit across the way to Lou Ferrigno. Who were apparently having some sort of a little spat. And he just argued. And of course, Lou Ferrigno, as you know, if people don't know, is deaf for all intents and purposes. And he was just brushing him off, like talking shit to this and that, but he couldn't really hear what Faustino was saying. So it was kind of funny. Well, it was more cute. It was more cute than real, really, I think. But that was interesting.
It sounds like a segment out of like The Celebrity Apprentice is what it sounds like.
It's like something in the background of Entourage, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
but something that, not that, you know, not some, something that, that what's his name would deal with, not a, you know, Mr. Viking Quest there wouldn't be involved in this, right?
Yeah, drama and Bud
not
Bundy.
Not Green A, but yeah.
I would rather it have been Seth Green and Bud Bundy yelling at each other, but.
Yeah, you know. that would have been pretty funny.
That'd be a nice fight.
I don't know. That's pretty equal. Yeah, actually, Bud Bundy's pretty fairly ripped. Last I saw.
Well, then we got to get Danny Bonaduce against him. Now we're just dropping pop culture references.
No, that's
all
the same
over
person.
The place.
Same person.
But this Rogue One, there was a behind the scenes featurette. Did you check that out at all? Did you see that?
I didn't watch the feat. No, I didn't
I
watch
did.
Anything.
It
on
looked
it.
Good. I have to admit, I kind of went into it cynical.
I didn't want to know anything about it.
Me neither, but now I'm glad I watched it. But this poster, I was not that hyped on. And I thought, it's this like...
It looks like a video game poster.
It to me, it looks like they're fighting in Maui. What the fuck?
Yeah, well,
it's too earthly to me. It's too common.
If you're able to go anywhere for a Star Wars movie, obviously you shoot in Hawaii, right? I mean,
can the Stormtroopers' outfits handle water?
Yeah, well, not only that, but they're highly camouflaged. White on the beach? Yeah, you can't see that shit.
I'm expecting Blake Lively to be in the background holding onto a rock. I didn't know what was going on this, but I do like the whole Death Star in the background and that tagline, a rebellion built upon hope, is very, very clever with the whole this being a prequel to A New Hope and things like that. So ingenuity is afoot here. And the trailers or this featurette that they're showing is a lot of slow motion footage that I actually don't think is going to be slow motion in the film. They're just doing it so it takes up more trailer time, but it looks great. Looks great.
Well, good. I'm still not going to watch it. I did hear through that grapevine there that there's not going to be a opening title crawl, which who knows, that may turn out to be false, you know, for all we know. But that's interesting. Would you feel out of whack?
No,
if you watched this and there was no opening title crawl, really? I mean, no music. They would just to settle in. I mean, for a Star Wars movie without the opening title crawl. I mean, there's going to be no 20th Century Fox fucking logo either.
Yes, this is just
so this
movie.
Is like one-upping the last one, right?
I'm really excited. I actually think this looks better than Episode 7. I was not into those trailers initially at all.
By far better. This looks like it has a real story.
Let's move on to the other space opera that's going to be dominating theaters here next weekend. Star Trek 4, or Star Trek 3, I should say, will be coming out this next weekend. And Simon Pegg has said, avoid all trailers from this point on if you want to be surprised. He's rather upset right now with the marketing, saying that they're giving away way too much information. I haven't seen much.
Really? Because the information I've seen has been pretty sparse.
He says
those
from
trailers.
Here forth, I think this week that they're launching, leading up to the film, that they have a whole new ad campaign coming out.
I'll stop watching.
Yeah, he's saying avoid TV, which is going to be even saying like, you know, TV, internet, all that kind of stuff is getting out way too much information. But
that's fine.
Abrams,
I'm warring across any.
you know, J.J. Abrams maintained his role as a producer, and he said he teased this week, if you want to call it tease. He said that Chris Hemsworth will be returning as Captain Kirk's father in Star Trek.
Yeah, I did see that.
Interesting move, but in what capacity, we don't know.
What else is he doing? His career is in a nosedive.
He's in Ghostbusters right now. He's in this. I mean,
he's in Ghostbusters, but he's not in Ghostbusters. That's like saying Rick Moranis, because Ghostbusters really launched Rick Moranis, right?
Rick Moranis had a successful career, you asshole.
Well, he did leave on his own volition, you know. He wasn't kicked out of the industry or driven. He did just quit on his own, to be fair. But you know what I mean. I mean, Chris Hemsworth has tried. We've seen multiple instances of trying to get him into a starring vehicle, and it just never turns out well.
I'll take a Chris over a Liam.
Well, me too. I mean, I like the guy. I'm just saying, meh. So what, he returns? I mean, that just helps with keeping things together, right? Keeping the flow decent. That way you don't get lost. Attack. You're not like, who the fuck is this guy? Oh, that's his dad? He looks different.
Well, we also have him, Liam, like we said, in Ghostbusters, and that's been the talk of the town for quite a while now. I mean, fanboys have just been spitting vile at this. We didn't even really touch this because of that for a long time. And now, we'll look at the box office this weekend. $46 million opening weekend, $144 million price tag, they're saying. Probably another $100 million spent advertising. They say it needs to make $300 million worldwide.
Which should no problem.
Be profitable. That's what I say. I mean, but China is apparently not going to play this because they're against anything that has supernatural elements. They will not allow
in
the country.
I think Asia in general might have an issue with this. I'm not sure how this plays in some of the foreign territories, right? But they don't have to make that much. I mean, $45 million opening here. You know, if it has a 3x multiplier, that's not too bad.
Not bad at all. No. I think that this is fairly respectable for what this is. I don't think this was ever going to be a hit on the size of Bridesmaids.
Yeah, I mean, it's no Secret Life of Pets or anything.
I just can't imagine that. Yeah, you're right.
What the fuck is going on with that movie? How is that possible?
For the last 5 weeks, an animated movie has been ruled the box office. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, Finding Dory and Secret Life of Pets. What the fuck?
I went to the movies this last weekend, which I'll talk about in my reviews, and I looked at the paper. No.
you picked out, what am I going to watch?
This is in 1985. I had to look at the showtimes in the paper, bunch of little ads and whatnot, and picked out a showtime.
Remember when, and then if you didn't have a paper, you'd have to go find one?
That was great. You could pay a quarter to
find out.
You used to
have to go down to like the gas station, yeah, you could get a fucking paper.
Remember when movie reviews were only in newspapers? I remember I walked uphill both ways to the movies in the snow. Regardless, I went to the movies and I was looking at the shows of what was playing, and I'm looking at it and it's like the BFG, Pets, Dory. There's three kids movies right there. Then you got Ghostbusters is somewhat family oriented. Tarzan's somewhat family oriented. I got Mike and Dave and Central Intelligence, and it's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, this is ruled by kids and family movies. The summer used to have at least a somewhat eclectic mix. It's nothing right now.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Ghostbusters, I do want to see. I know that's family-oriented, but it's still adults. And
can I get an action movie? I think Bourne is fucking up by not coming out earlier.
That'll be good. And then, after that, we have a Suicide Squad. And then the year's over, right?
Yeah. And then it's all Oscar movies from there on out.
And horrible, shitty action movies that you don't really want to see in the theater.
That's true. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with our reviews of 7 new movies.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
This is the super duper awesome trailer for the Force Viewing Podcast. So, Joria, what do you think should be in this?
Lots of girls.
Well, I'm liking, explosions and robots and sci-fi stuff.
No, boys have cooties, girls, and blood, lots of blood.
But we should have in there stuff that has nothing to do... Oh, actually, you know what? Dan, what do you think?
Well, I think...
Actually, we're completely out of time.
ForceViewing.com.
Who the hell are you?
Is that about like movie rape or something? It's called forced viewing. Yeah. It's talking about like girls and blood.
It's endorsed by Bill Cosby, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy coercion in my viewing of anything. Do not prefer it. I had to be coerced into seeing Independence Day, though. I went back to see this movie with high expectations, Resurgence. It was the sequel to one of my favorite movies, or at least one of my favorite movie-going experiences.
Yeah, you should take that back.
Yeah.
Reword that.
Well, Independence Day still holds up for what it is. I mean, I watched
it
on...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even hold up for what it is.
I watched it recently, and I kind of got into it a little. I watched it on 4th of
really?
July. It looked great on HBO Go. I did kind of get into it the first time in a long time. It. But it's still lumbering,
terrible, man.
In a lot of ways. But it's structured exactly how it should. But compared to Independence Day 2, it's a work of art. I mean, Independence Day 2 is such a fucking letdown. And within the first few minutes, you realize that it's such an inferior product. This is how dumb Independence Day 2 is. Let me just refresh your memory. So the kid in this movie, it's all the little kids. It's the little girl, the president's daughter, has grown up, and she's now working as some sort of aide for a female vice president who's running things. And then there's this black fighter pilot kid who is Will Smith's son. And the guy looks just like Will Smith. But let's rewind back to Independence Day 1 and remember that it's his fucking adopted son, so there's no reason to have this kid look like Will Smith. It makes no sense. It's not his biological son. It was her kid already. Do you recall
but
any
did
of this?
They cast him to make it look like
yes,
him?
They might as well have Michael B. Jordan.
I mean, they have done that for just so people would recognize.
Oh, God, it's so obvious in the shot when they're paying homage to like the dead. There's a big poster outside the president's office of Will Smith, and he's like stares at it and getting misty eyed. This movie is so fucking obvious. They make. I mean, Jeff Goldblum is lost in this somewhere. Bill Pullman is a fucking Brent Spinner's character comes back for no apparent reason. The movie makes no sense. It's a blatant setup for a sequel that's never going to come, which is kind of fun at this point.
Brent Spiner comes back probably because – or Spiner comes
Spiner.
Back. I think his name's Spiner.
Yeah.
But he probably comes back because he's one of the like casters they could get to return, right?
Well, but I mean they got Goldblum and Pullman. So that
Right. But he's someone that people remember, especially now. I think people know him more than before.
You wonder why they waited this long to come up with this movie. I mean, they could have done this in 1997. Why?
So no third one is what you're saying?
Fuck no. I mean, you watch this movie, you're going to watch this and be like, oh, it's all right. I mean, I can see you right
Am
now.
Am I going to say that?
It's kind of all right.
I don't know.
Because I could see you saying that shit because there are some visuals. Like, there's a mother alien thing that's kind of cool and things like that. But it's so fucking just – it's empty. You watch this movie and it's preordained like none other. I mean, it's programmed in. It's like untouched by human hands is the best way to describe it. It just feels mechanical as all fuck.
Well, it is made by a German.
Awful movie. Really, it's on the level of Uwe Boll if you give him this kind of money. It's awful.
But that's what I've been saying.
I think it's Emmerich's maybe worst movie.
But he doesn't make very good movies. I mean, White House Down.
It's fun.
To be fair, like you pulled that up in the last argument we had about Emmerich. And okay, fine. I did like that one, and it was fun. But it was still stupid, but at least it was fun. But his other shit is just, like, Godzilla's fucking terrible.
This is worse.
And they're just horrible movies. Like, they're just not what you want to see from those movies when you go see them. You know, and Independence Day, miraculously in theaters, was somehow good. I think because we'd never really seen much of anything that big before, and also Will Smith was in it at the time. And other than that, I don't know because I've seen it since. It's fucking terrible.
I can't disagree with anything you're saying, but this is awful. This is plain awful. Let's just move on.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's still fucking terrible.
What is Pandemic?
Got it. Pandemic. It's the first person. Horror movie, zombie apocalypse
movie.
Yeah,
yeah. How was this?
You know, it's cool at first, and then it gets really old, and it's also not a very good movie.
That's what I thought was going to happen with Hardcore Henry, that movie that came out recently. That's why I didn't see that, because these kind of gimmicky things like this, how do they sustain it? You can't really, right?
Well, the thing about the Hardcore Henry, and from what I've seen of that, I mean, this is clearly lower budget, but, the Hardcore Henry stuff is based more off those YouTube stunt videos and things they did in first person, which were really awesome. But again, you know, short clips of you know, short movies. So I don't know, and I can't really speak for that movie necessarily, but that movie does seem a little bit better than this. This was just, I don't know. And this has four people in it that you get, who are wearing helmet cams, you know, that you look through.
Yeah, I'm already over it.
And so it cuts around. It kind of cheats a little bit, but the stunts in it aren't as good. Like the stunts in this just really aren't even as good. They don't even come close to the trailer of Hardcore Henry. And they are at times, it's just confusing to orient yourself in what's going on if it gets too crazy. So until I see Hardcore Henry, I'm not going to write this off as a cool way to make a movie, you know, every once in a while. God help us if they make every movie like this. But this movie just didn't pull it off.
It sounds like it's like the sequence in Aliens with the Marines with, you know, like the cameras on, which I think is a beautiful
sequence. It's like watching a video game.
Aliens.
You know, it's really what it's like. It's like watching somebody play a video game.
Which is boring as fuck to watch somebody else play a video game.
No, but it's not. It's a story that moves forward and it's just like a movie. And the way they do it, the beginning of this is really pretty fucking cool. And I thought this was going to be a good movie because they do start it out like a video game. They explain things to her and they kind of get you oriented with, okay, she's going to be wearing this fucking camera and you're looking at, like, they give you like the idea of like where you are going to be like watching this from, you know? And they kind of lay a little groundwork of story in there and explain to you about zombies and things. And it's done very well. But then once the action starts, once they get her out there and the story starts getting going, it just falls apart.
So you wouldn't recommend this then?
I wouldn't, but okay. I'm waiting. I'm hoping Hardcore Henry do something, because I think this is a really cool idea. I mean, you've seen the YouTube videos of this kind of shit. It's really, really fucking neat to see this when it's done correctly. But as you say, and I have to agree, those are short videos. This is a full movie. It failed in the long form version. So I don't know.
It's hard to sustain that kind of stuff. It really is visually interesting, at least.
Yeah.
Well, I saw The Shallows, which was a better than expected and better than average, but not great little thriller. This movie is the Blake Lively, you know, stranded on a rock while a fucking shark surfaces or circles her. And it's really a small movie. It reminded me of Turistas or things of that nature.
But of course.
The John Stockwell films.
Interject a question here. You say small movie, but isn't that obvious kind of from the trailers, or is it smaller even than the trailers give you an idea?
The trailers give you an idea of it.
Well, it's just her on a rock. I mean, it's her against the shark, right? She's out there alone.
Pretty
and that's
much.
That's the whole movie.
One or two other characters that somehow get involved here and there. But it's a very, very short film that feels long. This movie would have been fun. It is fun, but it would have been better if they had not tried to do the 127 hours thing where she finds a GoPro camera and explains to her family that she shouldn't have done this and shouldn't have done that. And it's a little preordained in that she's a medical student, so of course she can fix any wounds that comes across. But really where the energy lies in this movie is the visual acrobatics by the director, Jamie Coletti. I can't say this guy's name. A Frenchman who did Nonstop and a couple other, did Run All Night, the really bad Liam Neeson film, but he's done some good
Colette Liam Neeson. Sarah or something?
Thank you, Jamie Colette Sarah. He did Nonstop and Unstop.
Whammy? Who the fuck knows?
Yimey.
Yeah,
the dude is undeniably talented, and really, from the opening shot, you realize this is going to be a beautiful movie to gaze upon, not only from the island waters and the skip bleach that they do in some scenes, and then the oversaturation in other parts. When the blood runs red compared to that water, I don't know what effect that they use, but it's startling. And really, to see Blake Lively, it's somewhat voyeuristic. You know,
good?
She is good. She is good.
I like her anyways, but is this like a
it's not
a
breakout
good
performance? I wouldn't say breakout, but it's sturdy. It keeps your attention for the entire movie, and there's not a misstep in that. But I think that movies like this, like Into the Blue and this, and even Jaws' opening scene, there is some weird voyeuristic. And it is. After a while, you realize, okay, you're watching a woman who's half nude, bleeding, and being like, you know, being threatened, and there. It's a little strange when you think about what's going on here. And the ending, I don't know if it's going to work for everybody, how she gets out of the situation. I don't want to say it's a cheat, but it's maybe not exactly plausible in a lot of ways. But it is what it is. And for a one-off experience, it's a worthwhile minor recommendation.
Well, I mean, the real-life scenario, this is the shark eventually gets tired and swims away, right?
This thing is a menace.
So of course it's going to be, and this is you would classify this horror.
Horror thriller, yeah.
I mean, as much as other animal attack movies like this are, right?
if it didn't try to infuse the little drama element with the family drama and the reason she's running and why no one knows where she's at.
That's just time wasting. I mean, that's classic horror. That's just time filling, really, I would say.
Do you know what this director does, though, which I hated in Run All Night but actually works here, is he does a lot of visual using the screen for text messaging, showing a text message or a Snapchat or an Instagram photo
That's
share.
What I like. That's the good way to do it.
I did not care for that in Run All Night at all, but I really liked that here.
Really? I really enjoy – after seeing a few independent movies where they don't have the budget to do those types of effects, you really like them. Believe me, because you cannot read the fucking phones.
Yeah.
Like, don't show me a shot of a phone. I can't read that shit.
I can't read it. What's
too
that shit?
Far away. Seriously. Give me my glasses. What the hell? No, you can't fucking read it. Like, just pop it up on the screen. It makes it so much smoother. The scene just flies by when they do that. I enjoy that. Do that more.
Thank you. I enjoy that.
Do that more, yes.
Did you enjoy How to Be Single?
I wish that I did. But I really didn't.
So my girlfriend and my mom went and saw this a while back together, and my mom thought it was cute, and my girlfriend was like, it wasn't very good. So
it really isn't. I mean, it's lost on itself. I do like some aspects of it. Like, it's not really – it's not about boy meets girl or girl meets boy even, or, you know, someone trying to – it's not a normal love story by any means. It's just people existing and some relationships that happen along the way, which is nice. It's refreshing to see that. Unfortunately, it's just not – like, there's no importance to any of it whatsoever. And the characters aren't really that well written out. Like, I really didn't give a shit about anybody.
Wait, is it funny? Is it a comedy drama? Is it funny at all?
It's – not particularly, no. I mean, it's fun in the sense that the people are supposed to be having fun in it.
Yeah, right.
They're going
so
to bars.
You.
They're fucking around. They're doing this and that. There were a couple scenes, between Dakota Johnson and Anders Holm that were really good. I mean, Anders Holm actually, surprisingly, the little I've seen him in dramatic roles has been pretty damn good.
You can hold the
and
screen,
so
too.
Has a couple of those other the other guy. What's his name? From that trio.
Devane. Adam Devane.
Adam Devane, yeah. He's actually pretty good outside of that group as well. But other than that, I don't know. If it had been about just him, his character, it might have been a better movie, honestly. He had the better...
Is it a skip for you, or is this a... Check
it's
out.
A skip. It's not... It's of no consequence whatsoever. It will do nothing for you if you watch it, and nothing against you if you don't.
What about Whiskey Tango Foxtrot? That's another comedy or dramedy
like
that
one.
Just came out. What's up with this?
I kind of enjoyed this one. It was kind of funny at moments. I was just thinking about this earlier because of the Benghazi movie, and then watching this as well. You know, movies really give you a better insight into what's going on in these types of areas than the news does. Because they show you exactly how it is, you know. Like, we have these... the news always shows you these people living in, like, dirt huts and shit, and it's just, like, terrible and everything. And the reality is that, really, in, like, the big city areas and stuff like that, in these areas like Afghanistan or Iraq or Benghazi, right, any of these places, they're actually fairly civilized.
Did you
built
see
up,
Our
so.
Brand is Crisis?
I have not.
Okay, I was wondering, because that...
Oh, no, I did see that.
These are interchangeable.
I saw Our Brand is Crisis.
Yeah, I know they're different, but still.
They're very similar.
You hated Tina Fey in Sisters. You really did not like that movie. Is she more enjoyable?
No, I like Sisters.
I thought you hated Sisters.
No, it was all right. It was pretty good.
Oh, well, fuck
no,
me.
No, I did like her in this. They had Tina Fey running jokes where everyone calls her basically ugly. Right. They say, like, if you had, shorter hair, you'd make a very good looking man and shit like that. They just say shit like that constantly throughout the movie. That's pretty fucking funny, actually. And there are other things that are funny. But really, in the end, it's just the story about this journalist that goes over there and becomes an adrenaline junkie in a way, constantly putting herself in dangerous positions, more and more dangerous to get the shot. You know, and if that's not enough for you, Margot Robbie is in this, and she's always great. And so is Martin Freeman, and he's really good in this as well. And so, and it's also a true story, you know, which is interesting. And I love getting a real behind the scenes look at what it would be like to actually have been a reporter over in Afghanistan during this time, And this gives you that I don't, like I say, like the news just doesn't really show you what it's like to actually really just exist there. And these movies, I feel like movies do a better job of that.
I think this looked like an HBO original film to me.
It does. It's perfect for home video. Like, do yeah. not, like, I don't go see this in theaters. Obviously, you can't. But, you know, for just like an in-home viewing or whatever, it was nice. It was good.
Yeah, no, but like, remember their original films that they would have like every month? HBO original. I think they still do. HBO original
sure,
movies.
Sure, yeah.
And they would have this kind of irreverent tone. And
yeah, and especially, I mean, nowadays it's typically true stories and stuff.
I guess this is like a comedic version of Salvador. Did you ever see that movie with James Woods?
No.
That's a fucking great movie. James Woods and Belushi, Oliver Stone movie. Christ sakes. I saw the comedy Central Intelligence this weekend, and I give it a minor recommendation as well here. I mean, it's not a world beater, but it's maybe the most enjoyable Kevin Hart movie that he's done. I mean, it's up there with The Wedding Planner or with The Wedding Ringer. I'd say
sure.
way that more enjoyable, way more successful in doing what it's trying to do than things like Ride Along. And what was kind of refreshing here is that, I mean, the fat suit stuff is really just Friends light. You know, it worked better when Ryan Reynolds was doing it.
It's not even fat suit stuff though. It's CGI, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is CGI. So it's not a true fat suit, which
it's not
it
as
takes,
funny.
But singing, you know, singing a '90s R&B song and
oh,
dancing
he does
around,
sing, doesn't he?
Yeah, isn't nearly it's old hat when you compare it to like the I mean, Just Friends is a way underrated comedy.
It's fucking funny.
But yeah, thank you. I agree. And this movie is refreshing though because The Rock isn't playing. You know, I thought he was going to be this muscle bound kind of He Man running through movies that Schwarzenegger used to be in his comedies. And okay. really, he plays his character like Lenny from A Mice and Men. He's kind of a slow dimwit.
He's stupid.
Doesn't kind of realize.
I thought
his
that
appeal.
Was the Kevin Hart part.
No, Kevin Hart's the cool kid. That's what's refreshing is that in high school, the Rock character was fat and had, you know, a prank pulled on him, and Kevin Hart was the cool kid who helped him out, and now he comes back and like wants to
sorry,
be his best
isn't
friend.
Isn't that just 21 Jump Street?
In a lot of ways, yeah. But this is more really if you want to say anything, it's Lethal Weapon, but it's really non-lethal weapon because Kevin Hart's such a puss.
It's not Lethal Weapon.
You know, but this is if they're gonna start a franchise, that's fine. These guys have actually a nice screen chemistry. There are some really nice cameos. I'd say one of them it really kills at the end, but the Jason Bateman stuff doesn't work. And Aaron Paul, who has a very, very small role at one point, you know, is, I mean, it's such a fucking giveaway that he's going to come back in a bigger role later. Yeah. So, I mean, it was well done in a lot of ways. Kevin Hart is funny in this movie, genuinely funny. The Rock is enjoyable. I mean, he's got some good lines here and it's not horrible. That's the best thing I can say about it. It's the reason it's making as much money as it is, but it's not like a fall down. This summer has been very bad with comedy. I mean, it's lousy with comedies. Just
that's
not
true. I mean, what's done well? Nothing. Well, Ghostbusters, I guess, is pretty much it, right? Because The Boss really didn't do too well.
Mike and Dave Needs Wedding Dates hasn't been the breakout success I thought it might be.
It's been doing all right. That's been doing pretty all right for what it is.
Yeah, but there hasn't been that $150 million smash of the.
There
you know,
hasn't been. I mean, I'm thinking, even thinking like movies that have done extremely well, right? It's like.
That's what this is. I mean, 120
Secret
million.
Secret Lives of Pets, right? Or, and this, but I mean, this isn't that well. I mean, you're talking breakout hits, right? Like super duper huge.
I'm talking about any comedies that are just hitting.
Yeah, I guess.
Nothing. Well, a movie that they released earlier this year that hit, but really was not a hit, was Batman versus Superman. I saw this twice in the theater, I told you, because I was trying to figure out what the fuck was happening from scene to scene. Watch the Ultimate Edition. You have just seen the Ultimate Edition. You haven't seen the regular movie. What do you think? You recommend this one? You not? What's going on?
I think it's fucking terrible.
Really?
I mean, just god awful, man. Like, I don't understand people are trying to. And even you, so maybe you can explain this. Like, what's the defense for this fucking movie? I mean, you said Affleck was good in this. He's not. He's barely fucking. You can like Affleck all you want. He's barely in the fucking movie. He doesn't have any fucking dialogue. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't say anything. Nobody has any dialogue in this fucking movie. Get Goyer off the fucking writing of these DC movies. I know he's cutting out the goddamn dialogue.
I don't understand in this movie why they needed the whole backstory with the
because
what
of the
happened.
Mom, right?
Wow, the mom.
I mean, that was the payoff. To
and
all
did we
that
make this
backstory.
Up? Was Martha always? Was it?
I don't
know. Martha Kent. But I don't remember
but
Martha
kinda,
Wayne.
I feel like it, maybe it was made up, but maybe it wasn't. I mean, maybe they just noticed it. or I don't know. I haven't read that many Batman, Superman, especially new shit. I'm surprised that they killed Superman so soon. I mean, this is a perfect setup for Suicide Squad. Okay, great. Didn't really need this setup, but I mean, bold, I guess, in the sense that, like, what, like, where? None of talk about just leaving people out in the fucking cold. Like, where is this going?
What I didn't like about this cut is that they put the attack on Metropolis after that opening funeral march. Okay. And I believe like in the either. Theatrical cut, it starts with just that, you know, Superman's introduction.
Much of an
and it was just boom, boom, boom. And then it went into the slower montage, which I thought was a better. You didn't like that opening, that scene with Affleck driving through the city, that action sequence?
Yeah, I did. I mean, yeah, it happened. And it was interesting because it was the beginning of the movie.
That's what I'm saying. There were sequences
it wasn't all that,
that
good. I mean, I didn't care. This movie failed to connect emotionally to me on really most on any level. Yeah, so that was one of the problems that I had. Like he didn't really seem to have a very good reason or even really to be all that pissed off at Superman. And Superman really was just kind of fucking doing nothing for it. And really, so does Batman. The movie, nothing happens in the fucking movie. I mean, I can't explain it. It's just, it's so long and nothing,
well, you
fucking,
watched
nothing's
that.
Going on.
To be fair, you did watch the 3-hour cut, even though it's only 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, not the 2.5-hour one. Yeah, okay.
Well, at least that one, you say nothing's going on, but at least you can understand that nothing's going on, whereas I thought so much was going on,
to,
but they weren't
right?
telling me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, fucking A, like, this is just a failed attempt. Like, this is a bad script and should never have been, it just shouldn't. Yeah, this solidifies my whole get Snyder and Goyer off this shit and really probably, you know, move this shit away from Nolan as well, because he's obviously not paying enough attention.
I miss when Batman movies were seminal events of the summer, and right now they just seem to be.
But this isn't a Batman movie, nor is it a Superman movie, you know, and that's really kind of the problem. I mean, the bad guy, the acting's fucking, I really don't think it's very good on any level from anyone. Jesse Eisenberg is just, this Lex Luthor is fucking terrible. And like I say, Ben Affleck just doesn't have a chance. The Ben Affleck directed Batmans, okay, maybe those would be better. But he just doesn't, the script never gives anyone a chance to fucking actually just sit and exist. And the whole fucking fight sequence between Batman and Superman is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
It's pretty bad.
It's just, I mean, Superman shows up and he's like, hey, Batman, listen to this. I got some shit to tell you. And Batman's like, no, I'm fucking, I can't. And he's like, no, you don't want to listen? Okay, let's fight. And you're like, dude, like, you didn't even try. And then when he's about
to
kill him,
even try,
you do the
bro.
Martha shit. And then like, hey, who the fuck are you kidding? Yeah, this is a joke. There's only one sequence in this entire movie that I think is any good, and is the sequence where Batman goes and saves fucking Kent's mom. And that shit is fucking badass. That's the only time in the whole movie I was like, fuck yeah. Kick some ass.
Tears
that
ass
was
in
it.
The car. Yeah.
That was it. That was the whole movie to me. The only thing that's worth it. The Wonder Woman stuff is bullshit. The setup for the Justice League stuff is fucking terrible.
Was the score not terrible for the Wonder Woman shit? That heavy metal, like, rock synth thing they were doing?
Then the whole score is just all, the score is like the movie, it's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, the score
I
is
have no idea.
Eclectic to be nice. All right, well, that's definitely a non-recommendation on that for Trevor. I still give this I'm on the fence on this one.
I don't understand. Where's,
I don't
where,
know
what's
I
the
have
thing?
A strange okay. I have a strange connection to this
I was trying
movie
to figure out where
it's
it
so
is.
Weird.
I mean, the only honestly, Jeremy Irons is the only person that does any real acting in this.
He's hearing the music. He's the only hearing the real music, honestly. Yeah. I don't know. There's an odd intriguingness to this movie to me, because it's so fucking whacked out that I think we're gonna look back on this and be like, what the hell was that? I mean,
I don't
Superman
even think it's
Returns
worth that. It's not even worth
better.
That, man.
Tell me this doesn't make Man vs. Steel look better.
Yeah, it does. But Man vs. Steel has the same problem this movie has.
It's
just an eclectic bullshit bunch of shit that's just, it's not cohesive, nor is it coherent, really. I mean, it's fucking terrible. When his dad comes back in this, it's like, fuck me. Can we get to the end of this fucking movie at that point? Like, you're not.
That's a misplaced scene.
It's just
in both
versions. Just terrible. Yeah.
I'll say that. All right. Well, it is available on Vudu and all these other preliminary sites. It will be available this Tuesday for everyone else to check out. So check that out and let us know what you guys think on that. Streaming online pick of the week. What do you got?
I have the most amazing show that I didn't think would be amazing. You know, I used to love fucking horror. I used to read Fangoria. I used to get psyched for really gory, crazy horror movies. And they just don't make them like they used to. Until I saw Ash vs. Evil Dead, the Stars, little mini series.
Original series.
Not really quite a TV show, but yeah, you know what I mean. And it is fucking awesome. It is so good. It's ridiculous. I mean, Sam Raimi has set this up perfectly in a Sam Raimi style. The dialogue is fucking hysterical. The stunts and the gags and the horror gore is great. Bruce Campbell is fucking firing on all cylinders still as Ash.
What else is
there? He's just fucking hysterical, man. Can't like, it's so you. Cool. But the neat thing about this is that it changes tone. Oddly enough, and it works every time it does it. Like the first episode, these cops come in and get involved in this, but Bruce Campbell is nowhere to be seen, and so it's not so funny. It's kind of fucked up and scary. And then when Bruce Campbell, you know, switch back to him, it's all fucking, you know, gags and everything. He doesn't give two shits about anything.
Right.
So it's interesting to see those two things kind of play out together and eventually, you know, collide. But I just thought it was really good. Better than the Netflix or the, it's not on Netflix, but the Rodriguez vampire show from Dusk Till Dawn, which I thought was really good too, but I quit watching because it got boring. This never gets fucking boring ever. I watched the entire season in one day. It's fucking great. Second season's coming out pretty soon.
Wow. That's all right. I'm going to watch it. I will watch it. My streaming online pick of the week is available on HBO Go and Cinemax platforms, Straight Outta Compton. If you didn't check it out last year, it is one of the best movies of the year, definitely deserving of a Best Picture nomination in my estimation as well. Did you check out that one? I think you liked that.
Yeah, it's really good. Cool.
Yeah, it was, for a biopic, a musical biopic, I think it ranks up there with the best of them, and not just because of the era and whatnot, but just because of the filmmaking audacity and the great casting of this movie. So, check those out. Trevor's is available on Stars. Mine is available on HBO and Cinemax. All right, let's get a Trailer Addict.
Oh, my.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Ooh, okay.
Are you prepared?
Holster the captain there, and let's get on our voyage here.
Let's start with the television show of the bunch, because this was a weird one I had to throw in, but it was so fucking odd I had to have you look at it. Son of Zorn, basically a barbarian He-Man-esque person who goes back to suburbia and lives with live-action people.
Yeah, he's a cartoon.
He's a cartoon. He's a he looks like a He-Man, like a barbarian from a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Good.
I mean, it's basically like Archer style.
It comedy. Is very Archer-esque, yeah.
Right. But with mixed with live action. And he's
I can't wait to watch this.
I'm very afraid that I will watch one episode of this and be bored. And not. Because the trailer, it's very weird. I can't decide if this is going to be good or bad. I really
That's
need to see
it's
it.
Worth watching for everybody. Look, check out the trailer at least. Yeah. Set of Zorn.
Check it out and look at it. I don't know, man. Some of the gags are a little bit. It seems like it's going to get old. Like, I get that he's a cartoon and that he's like He-Man. Like, if that's the entire gag. Which seems to be pretty heavily used in this trailer, then I'm going to get bored.
Yeah, it might be one. It's a Fox show, so I'm sure this will only be on for about 4 episodes. All right, let's talk about the other ones. Here we go again. You got Trolls. I mean, I didn't think the Angry Birds movie was going to come back and do anything. I was wrong. People
Holy
loved it.
Holy shit, the Angry Birds movie do shit, and now the Secret Lives of Pets.
And now we have Trolls.
I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know what to say about this period. You know, I mean, what
it
do you?
It doesn't look very good. But then again, these movies seem to make money.
Let me ask you this. I mean, this is a DreamWorks movie. From this trailer, did you not get a little bit of a feeling that they were trying to ape the Illumination Entertainment style a little bit, which Secret Life of Pets was.
Yeah,
the Universal stuff. I mean, this felt very much like that. Yeah, even the titles on it looked very Despicable Me-ish.
And the fact that Justin Timberlake's the main voice character, he doesn't really have a voice that's meant for animation. He doesn't lend itself well. It's not. It doesn't pop in any way.
Yeah,
I think
he plays the little girl, the girl troll.
And the weird thing is that they actually show the people in this trailer. I don't remember them doing that. Usually it's like a title card of the names and like the little animated character. Here they actually have the...
I don't know.
It was a weird trailer. I didn't care
for it. It reminds me a lot of the, as you say, the Birds, the Angry Birds trailer. I don't know. I mean, how else do you take a property like Angry Birds or Trolls and make it into a movie, right?
Well, the other trailers we have on the show, though, I think are all high quality. Let's first talk about A Monster Calls. J.A. Buena, who did The Impossible, one of the best movies of that year with Naomi Watts about the flood and the tsunami and getting away from it with her family. Great, great movie. Is back with a movie that looks to be, to me, like the BFG for adults in a way, you know? Or
well, I was just going to say the better BFG, right?
Yeah, or doesn't even like Where the Wild Things Are in a way, you know, like the Spike Jonze movie that was a total failure, but kind of interesting.
I mean, a little more grounded in reality than that, but yeah, I mean, Pete's Dragon, right? I mean, I can think of a lot of children's tales that this is like, but...
But scary. I mean, this looks like it has a Guillermo del Toro touch to it even. Like, he's been blessed.
It feels like this is going to be a real movie rather than just something for kids to go see.
I'm looking forward to this thing. I think this trailer is fantastic.
And what better voice, right? Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson, that's what I'm saying.
Remember when Sean Connery did a dragon? You were like, holy shit, that's a dragon's voice. Well, this is a fucking monster's voice.
Yeah, this is more of a lion and a monster compared to
yes,
him. You're right.
Lion as well, but...
I am the last dragon.
Right, yeah, when you hear that, you're like, fuck yeah, you are.
You're regal, sir. I understand. I think it's absolutely fantastic, this trailer. A Monster Calls. I think this is a foreign production, but it's all done in English. I mean, I'm not sure who the credits are.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean,
is this a foreign film that's getting an American release here? Is this like Del Toro's early stuff? I mean, Sigourney Weaver's in this. Liam Neeson obviously is voicing Felicity Jones, so it has a pretty big cast.
Foreign production companies. Focus Features is a distributor here, so yeah, you're right. She's a foreign.
Yeah, it still looks good, though. Let's talk about Imperium, which is a terrible title for a trailer that is really good.
I was
good.
Confused by this fucking title, but yeah, tell me this movie doesn't look and, you know, in all honesty, these types of movies are pretty cheap these days. This looks really well produced, well written, well directed, and Daniel Radcliffe looks fucking good in this.
This is Radcliffe's joining the FBI agent who goes undercover and infiltrates a white supremacist group. Mm-hmm. And this – I mean, he's been doing a lot of interesting work lately. But, man, he – talk about adult in this. It reminded me of Ryan Gosling in The Believer in a way. You know, remember that movie where he – but obviously he wasn't undercover. But in the sense that it's a – it's kind of a riveting. Like, I was looking at this and going, man, I can't stop looking at this. I can't believe that's Harry Potter doing this movie. He looks
– I know. I wanted to see. It was almost like I don't know. What would it be? Like Edward Norton-esque in a way?
Yeah,
you know,
because
I know
of the physical
white power,
similarity.
But I'm really not. It has nothing to do with the white power stuff. Like, it really, it was kind of like that level performance, you know? Like, he was really giving it all, his all, you can tell.
Bad title, though.
And I don't even know. What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I thought this would be like a futuristic sci-fi movie, especially with the shaved head.
Yeah.
And then I saw, oh, it makes sense why he's got the shaved head now. Okay. But great trailer. Also a great trailer, I think, is Bleed for This. This is the Vinnie Pazienza boxing movie with Miles Teller. I think this looked fantastic. What'd you think? You were feeling it?
Not really. I mean, this just this is like a poor man's David O. Russell. I don't really understand the why is this? Why are people trying to make movies like, who is this director? Ben Younger.
He did what's Boiler Room. I mean,
oh,
he did
boy,
a lot
Prime?
Of stuff.
Yeah. Boiler Room. Ooh. So he's done two things.
Yeah. but I liked both of those.
This is clearly the an aping of David O. Russell's stuff at this point. This is an Oscar plea, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know. I've never been a Miles Teller fan. He's like the one person I really just don't like. He looks fairly looks decent like, in this, though. I'll admit.
He looks like Vinny Pazienza in this, to be honest. I mean,
but that's
have you
the
ever
other
seen...
thing I don't like about this. I mean, really, like accents, like the whole thing just screams like I aspire to be Martin Scorsese. I just can't get that out of my fucking head when I see this trailer.
I think this looks better than the Hands of Stone movie coming out, the Roberto Duran movie with De Niro and Edgar Ramirez.
That's fair enough. Next month.
I mean, it looks. I mean, two sure, of these they're going to get sure, hurting each other really to come out in the same year. But I think it looks this story, the Tasmanian Devil story, mm-hmm, Vinny Pazienza is pretty intriguing. I mean, that you saw the beginning part where he's being wrapped in the Saran wrap to fight
sure,
Mayweather, which is actually Roger Mayweather, the uncle of Floyd. I mean, he lost that fight, and then his manager gets in the ring and gets his ass kicked as well, and then. Pazienza damn near dies after from dehydration suffering, and that's before he gets in the car wreck, before the coke, and the guy lived a colorful fucking life. Okay. So there's a lot going on in this
dude's
life.
I'll give it a shot. I just thought that the trailer is selling me something that maybe the whole reason this movie got made, and I don't know.
I was impressed with it, but I do think that the strongest trailer on tonight's show is A Monster Calls. I really do.
You don't think it was Trolls? Oh wait, Kickboxer, did you watch that?
I did. Let's talk about Kickboxer real quick.
Kickboxer Vengeance.
This is the Van Damme
Not Retaliation, you know, which is coming out next year,
which is strange that they're already announcing that's being shot before this movie's been released, because this doesn't look like it's like a world beater or some sort of like guaranteed hit.
Only cost $10.
This does look cheap, doesn't it?
It looks super cheap, but I still want to see it. It's got John my girl Stockwell. Gina's in it. Fucking Van Damme's in it.
Stockwell makes good fluff, man. You know, good just B-movie.
Yeah, it looks fucking terrible, but it looks like some terrible shit you would have seen on VHS in the 90s, you know. So I'm well adapted for it, you know.
For all the reboots I've seen.
I've been training for this all my life.
Of things that I love, I wouldn't mind this. And is this the first Van Damme reboot?
It's an interesting reboot. It's nice to keep him in it, you know, and have him be training people now. I mean... Makes sense. And it's very there are parts of this that look fucking badass. I will admit that. And then there are parts of it where you think, the director may not be on set this day.
May have regressed. Who did this work?
Yeah.
It looks like Gina Carano still is pretty and doesn't know how to act. So.
Well, they just throw her in this shit. I don't know.
This also has slew of martial arts, UFC guys. It makes martial artists.
Yeah, Batista's in this.
Well, Batista, and then you have George St. Pierre, Cain Velasquez, mm-hmm, and Fabricio Verdum. So
there's a bunch of
names that there are involved in this to go after that crowd. But I don't know if that's necessary because of the fact that this is one of the more popular Van Damme films.
Well, do you
films, feel
like this was, at all a little influenced by Bloodsport as well?
Oh,
or
man.
It just kind of like...
I'm glad they remade this and not Bloodsport.
Why? I love Bloodsport.
I think this is so do I, but I think this is a better movie to remake right now with the villain and having the main. I mean, if Batista was playing.
Well, if you remade Bloodsport, you wouldn't have Van Damme in it.
Right. There would be no place.
I mean, there would be that too. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't mind Alan Moussey. I like him as a martial artist. He's an interesting screen personality and things I've seen him in. He is kind of Van Damme-esque in that he's a Frenchman, a good-looking French guy who is right, martial artist.
I mean,
so.
I'm ready for this, too. I mean, when they remake Kickboxer, it obviously needs to be on the big screen.
Yeah.
Or not Kickboxer. Bloodsport, you know what I'm talking about. Because if y'all haven't seen Bloodsport, go out and, make your lives complete. Go watch it. It's fucking awesome.
It's available everywhere.
They're literally giving it away on street corners and shit. But it is fucking awesome. It's like Enter the Dragon awesome.
It's our generation's Enter the Dragon in a lot of ways. Or, it is, I guess, 80s generation's Enter the Dragon.
I remember watching it as a kid and just being like, holy shit, this is awesome. And it's still awesome today.
Oh, my goodness. We would watch it every Friday afternoon after school. Honestly, my friend had it on videotape. And he had, like, it taped off some shitty, I don't know if it was HBO or what, but he had, like, the first 5 minutes that
probably
were missing.
Right.
So it would start when the black guy would jump in the tree and start chopping those coconuts, you know what I'm talking about, in the beginning.
Yeah.
So when I watched it later on in life, I never knew that the movie had anything before that. I was, like, preconditioned to that being the first shot, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Is it Warner Bros. Logo? Oh, man. I think it was missing the credits. Remember when you tape things off TV, you never tape the credits.
Oh,
you tape
fuck
over the
no.
credits. Yeah.
Doing that shit.
Can you believe it? One time that they tried to say that it was against the law to tape things off HBO and shit, like the TV, the movie companies, MPAA sued. That's unbelievable.
They lost all that shit. Yeah, but they lost. Of course they tried. Could you believe that? Of course. Fuck
what
yeah.
an
you
asshole.
Know, that shit, you know?
You're an asshole. Well, speaking of assholes, we're a couple of assholes. We also are the Movie Mavericks. We want to thank you guys for joining us on our podcast, the 304th one.
You know who's in Kickbox, or not Kickbox, but Bloodsport is Ogre.
Ogre.
For anyone that gets that knows how awesome Donald Gibb is.
Donald Gibbs the shit. Although, if you look at his recent Twitter rants, he's a little nutty.
Donald Gibbs on Twitter?
He's on some sort of social media where he was talking shit about Van Damme.
He's on well, I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, Van Damme was probably an asshole.
Isn't that unanimously what you hear? Is that Van Damme's
pretty
an
much,
asshole?
And it's not really surprising.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't he admit to it like several times?
I am Jean. I am an asshole.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, guys, we're going to wrap up our show tonight with that. And we want to thank you guys for joining us. Also, go to iTunes, rate the show, check us out on Stitcher, TalkShoe, MovieMavericks.com, where we have all of our current reviews and past podcasts. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to MovieMavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!